Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 22nd of May. And we are going to have our May open line during the course of this hour. We do these once a month, and it's a chance for you to suggest programs for the 9 to 11 slot. If you've read a marvelous book or you've heard someone speak, or there's an area of discussion that you think we haven't devoted enough time to or completely neglected, or you want more of a certain area, please give us a call. Phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee today, the Milwaukee line is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. John Treader is our on-air producer. He'll chat with you for a minute, and we will get you on the air. Second hour of our program today, Mary Tillman will be joining us. You'll recall this story. Pat Tillman, her son, had a very successful college football career at Arizona State. He was a safety on the Arizona Cardinals and had a promising NFL career and a very lucrative contract before him. But in response to the 9/11 attacks, he put all of that on hold to serve his country. He listed as a Ranger in the U.S. Army, and on April 22nd, of 2004, he was killed in Afghanistan in what the administration portrayed as an ambush by the enemy, in which he was shot in the head while getting out of a vehicle. 12 days later, at his memorial service, his family was told that he was killed running up a hill in pursuit of the enemy, and for his courageous actions, he was awarded a Silver Star. But then a month and 2 days after his death, the family learned that he had been shot by his own troops in a friendly fire incident. The Tillmans requested an investigation. They wanted to know the truth. It took a long time to get at the truth, which may not be complete at this point. Mary Tillman will be joining us the second hour of our program today. All right, let's hop to your phone calls, 800-486-8655, 414-227-2050 in Milwaukee. And we go to Betty from Madison first. Hi, Betty.
Hi. I'd like a program on chronic pain, the different types of chronic pain, the etiologies and how it develops, treatment options, the problems with patients getting good treatment, the stigma of patients who take opiates, problems with doctors and clinics being shut down because of fear, insurance companies not paying. It's a really big issue. The New York Times followed a physician who was shut down and the sequela of that. There is a doctor who's written a very good book. His name is Dr. Scott Fishman. The book is The War on Pain. He would be someone who would really, I think, be a good person to contact and maybe have him on your program, or he could recommend someone.
What's his name again?
Scott Fishman.
Scott Fishman, okay.
The War on Pain.
Okay, Betty. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
John is next from Madison. Hello.
Hi. There's two things that they're using in plastics that have come under scrutiny by the people that are concerned about the effects these have on humans. One is called bisphenol A that they use to harden plastics. It's been banned in Canada for use in baby bottles and mm-hmm. stuff because it has deleterious neurologic effects on kids. And unfortunately, our current FDA is at present supporting the view of the American Chemical Council, which says it's okay. And this is an area of contention I think needs to be get some public scrutiny. So that would be one area. The other is there's all sorts of things coming out about the flame retardants they add to plastic, especially in electronic equipment, wiring, transformers, you name it, for the very purpose of making it relatively resistant to any kind of flammability problem. They are finding all sorts of neurologic problems from these things in animals, and apparently it's coming, this stuff outgasses out of the plastics, and there was a big warning about the fact that they were finding huge quantities in the dust on TVs due to all the electronic innards outgassing this stuff. This is a big problem, and it's something that it needs to be explored. The other thing that's also very fascinating this week is a big report came out by our own Justice Department Tuesday, 437-page report, citing the testimony of hundreds of FBI agents that worked at Guantanamo and in Afghanistan and also Iraq and the prisons, detailing torture done by the CIA and private contractors. And it just proves that what went on was systematic. It wasn't a bunch of odd people, just occasionally screwing up. It was systematic, and it was ordered from on high. And I think the public also needs to be aware of this. I've noticed that this report, which should have just been ringing off the newsrooms, has been suppressed in the major press.
Okay, John. Thank you. Thanks for the suggestions. We go next to Peter from Milwaukee. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good. You know, I'd like to hear a very frank and unemotional discussion about our failed war on drugs and its similarity to prohibition, its impact on our economy, its impact on corruption in the United States and around the world, its impact on the violence on our borders, and its impact in the poorest communities in the United States. And get away from the emotions, and how does this really relate to what we did in Prohibition? Where's the difference?
Okay.
That's it.
Thanks, Peter.
Okay.
Bye. Milton from West Allis. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I would like to have a legal scholar from the UW Law School, there's that old Wisconsin idea again, be a guest on your show about holding members of the current government legally accountable for their crimes after they leave office. Our legislatures and justice system have failed us miserably in this area, leaving us as citizens to do the job once these people have left office. Another topic I'd like to suggest would be, what do we do if Dick Cheney starts bombing other countries again? We've just had this report from Israel Army News Radio Service that the U.S. intends to bomb Iran. How could we as good citizens rise up and stop this murdering monster? What are our options? How can we protect ourselves and the world from Dick Cheney's personal nuclear arsenal?
Okay, Milton. Thank you. Let's go to Daryl from Menominee. Hi.
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 I would like to suggest the author, Jay Clark, who goes under the name Michael Slade. He's a Canadian author who writes whodunits. Also, they're very historically, prone.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
We have two lines open. Our number is 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. Marge is next from Brown Deer. Hi, Marge.
Hi, Kathleen. Glad you're back.
Thanks, Marge.
I would like to suggest Melody Peterson, who wrote Our Daily Meds, How the Pharmaceutical Companies Transform Themselves into Slick Marketing Machines and Hook the Nation on Prescription Drugs.
Okay.
And there's a website for the book, www.ourdailymedsbook.com.
Our Daily Meds Book?
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. And the author again, please?
Melody Peterson.
Melody Peterson. S-E-N or S-O-N?
S-E-N.
Okay.
She was on Bill Moyers the other night.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
She's really good. The book is really good. I'm almost through with it. And I think it would be worthwhile.
I do, too. Thank you, Marge.
Okay.
Bye. Amelia from Evansville. Hi, Amelia.
Hi. I have a few suggestions. One goes along with something someone already said, the whole issue of bisphenol A and these dangerous petroleum-based plastics that are so in our lives. One part of that is to maybe allow people to call in and offer sources for folks to find products free of these things, because in this department store age, people are so used to finding everything they want in one place. So oftentimes we get these alarms about, you know, what we should not use, but we don't really hear about where we can find alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
So having people call up with alternatives might be good. Maybe in that same show you could interview Dr. Friedrich von Saal, who was the first scientist to sound the alarm publicly about bisphenol A 10 years ago. And unfortunately, he was up against Dow Corning when he did that, so we didn't hear about it for quite some time. But he is at the University of Missouri Columbia. He is an endocrinologist, and I can give you his contact info if you need it. And then my last suggestion would be having a show on the needing an advocate in the healthcare system. So when someone's diagnosed with a disease, they have someone who can facilitate their needs who's not related to them and is also not their health practitioner, because so often, you know, it ends up being a family member who doesn't get to spend any time with their loved one before they die because they're trying to make all the phone calls and make sure they're not being overdrugged and all those things. So a good person to talk to about that would be Meg Gaines from the Center for Patient Partnerships at UW-Madison. She was diagnosed with cancer several years ago and was given a life sentence, and changed the course of the future that they had predicted for her by being her own advocate. Of course, she's a lawyer, so she knows how to be an advocate, but she started the Center for Patient Partnerships at the UW-Madison, and it's an advocacy group, and it's the only thing of its kind in this country, and they will work with people outside of Wisconsin. They also rely on public funding, private funding. So anyway, it's the Center for Patient Partnerships, and I have contact information for that as well.
Okay, I'm sure we can find that. That sounds great.
Okay.
Thanks, Amelia.
Thanks so much.
Bye. Jim from Milwaukee. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I've got three things. There's a book called, I'm just starting to get into it, called Influencer, The Power to Change Anything, by Carrie Peterson. Patterson is one of the authors. It's published by McGraw-Hill, and these people were authors of the New York Times bestseller Crucial Conversations. So that's a possibility. Also, secondly, Harper's Magazine has a really good article this month by Mark Sluka, S-L-O-U-K-A, and just basically deals with how many people from the media and military, and the military as well, including Colin Powell, defer to the government and basically, you know, become good Germans in a sense and don't really confront on an ethical basis what's going on, feeling that, you know, it's just the duty of a good soldier to go along. And the third one, you may or may not have had this on already between you and Ben, but it's the first time I saw it in my library. It's called Deer Hunting with Jesus, Dispatches from the America's Class War by Joe Badgent, B-A-G-E-A-N-T. This, I think ranks right there with Aaron Reich's book, Nickel and Dime. And, you know, coming from a male, of course, it's not as subtle and as Aaron Reich's is. It's more earthy. But it's a wonderful read on the plight of the working poor in America.
Sounds great.
Highly commended to people.
Good, good. All right. Great suggestion. We'll be on that, Jim.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you. 800-486-8655. Betty from Madison is next. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
And I'm calling you today about Mary E. Kramer, and she practices immigration law in South Miami, and she is the past president of the South Florida Immigration Lawyers Association, and she has written three books on the criminal consequences of immigration, the immigration consequences of criminal activity. She is... also has received an award for her public service award from the U.S. Justice Department for her pro bono work in immigration law. And she's a Madison born and bred graduate of the University of Wisconsin Law School. And let me see, what else can I tell you about her? Right now she is working as a liaison with the chapter The South Florida chapter, and the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Detention and Removal Office, working on policies and standards involving South Florida's region's detention centers and deporting offices.
Mm-hmm.
She says here in her book that she enjoys guest lecturing for law schools and colleges and teaching aspects of immigration law.
Okay.
So I recommend her. I have her email address and her phone number, her office phone number.
Do you want to? Do you have access to email to send to me?
I can send it, and also her book has quite a nice biography. I have email access. If that's what you're asking.
Yes, if you could do that rather than do it over the phone.
And the your email address.
Mine would be Dunk.
Dun.
DUNNK at WPR. Dot org.
WPR.
Dot org. And carbon it to Rhonda Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org.
Okay, Rhonda, what is your
name? No, you don't need the Rhonda. You just need Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org.
F-A-N-N-I-N-G. Is that F as in Fred?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go next to Chris from Milwaukee. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning. I saw recently, it was either Moyers or it was Now, but they were talking about corporate prisons, private prisons, and it's something that I'm very interested in. I've got Louise Grant. She is the vice president of marketing and communications for Corrections Corporations of America. And then a person who has been fighting this and probably put up the biggest fight is a Colorado state legislator. Her name is Leanne McFadden, but she calls herself Buffy.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny. They said, well, aren't you in the pocket of the unions? And she said, well, yeah, I'm happy to be. It's kind of funny because all these guys are retired military, so they never voted for a Democrat. Now they're being represented by not only a Democrat, but a blonde woman named Buffy.
Okay. And where is she in Colorado? Is she with an organization?
She's a legislator.
I'm sorry. She's a legislator, right. Okay. Well, that sounds interesting.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Bye.
Uh-huh. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. We're doing our May open line this hour. Chance for you to suggest guests' ideas for the 9 to 11 hours. And the phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Milwaukee area callers 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Back to you in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program, we talk with Mary Tillman, the mother of Pat Tillman, and her tribute to him is found in a just-released book, Boots on the Ground, by Dusk. It chronicles the family's effort to learn the true circumstances of Pat's death and also stories of his growing up and memories of him as a son and brother, husband, friend, and teammate. In the course of 3.5 years, there have been 6 investigations, several inquiries, and 2 congressional hearings, many because of the family's insistence that these take place. However, what really happened remains rather murky and fraught with contradictions. The Tillmans and other families of fallen soldiers are still waiting for the complete truth to come out. So she will be with us the second hour of our program today. Open line this hour. John Treader answering phone calls at 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. Jan from Ashland is next. Hi, Jan.
Oh, good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And thanks for being back. It's so good to hear your voice.
Thanks.
I would like to know exactly where the differences and the responsibilities lie for these gas prices. We hear the devaluation of the dollar, which I think is greatly responsible. We hear the profits of the oil company, the amount per barrel that that's being paid. And I think there are a lot of us that are confused as to exactly what the responsibilities and the causes for these things are. I'd like an in-depth, I don't know where you're going to get this information, but it'd be great to know.
Right. It is amazing how much it costs right now, isn't it? It just, every time I fill up now, I have a fairly energy-efficient car, but still the prices are phenomenal. And when you think what you're paying per month, there have to be a lot of people hurting.
A lot of people. And many of them are buying. Here in Ashland, you cannot find a small economic car for a reasonable price because people are buying a second car to drive around for short distances. It's unbelievable what's happening. I think when you think about spending $4,000 or $5,000 out of your savings for another car just so you can save on gasoline at
right.
the pump when you drive in town, it's an indication of something. But just where does it lie? We hear, you know, the all the confusion, and we know the gas companies are making huge profits. That's something that you've told us that we've heard. Okay, yeah, true. When you say how many dollars a barrel, well, how many euros a barrel has it actually gone up?
Mm-hmm.
And is it because our dollar is devaluated, or just where do the specifics lie? I'm sure it's a lot of all of the above.
Right.
But just really where would be a great thing to know.
All right, Jan. Good area.
Good luck finding
okay.
that.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure we'll find somebody.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye. Daniel from Rice Lake. Hi.
Hello. Seriously, I think I heard two interviews with Jesse Ventura, former governor. He's contemplating running for Minnesota senator. His name on the ballot, according to him, will be equivalent to none of the above. He also believes 9/11 was an inside job.
All right, so you'd like to have him on the air?
Yeah, he's a good one.
All right, thanks, Daniel. Jim from Salt Lake City, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Hey, I just saw a brief interview with Bud Croak, I guess is how you say his last name. He was the leader of the plumbers unit for the White House. And it's interesting hearing him because two reasons. One, before he helped the special prosecutor, he said he wanted to be tried and have his penalty with no plea bargain, so people knew he was telling the truth. And how he went through this repentance process to get his bar recertified so he can be a lawyer, and how he's really remorseful of what has happened and what people should learn from that experience. And the other thing is he talked to the president right before he was pardoned, and he was asking Bud Croak, what's it like in jail? Because he was preparing to go to jail. And I think he would be fascinated.
Where did you hear him, Jim?
He was, it was on public or education TV, and he was at the St. Thomas Law School in Minnesota with John Dean and two of the other prosecutors.
Hmm.
And it was like a round robin discussion.
Hmm.
And he just explained that when you get that letter saying you are important, you lose all faculty, that you really are hired because of your integrity.
Mm.
And he said he didn't really read that until after he got out of jail and looked at the letter and says, I was hired for my expertise and honesty to do this job, and I failed miserably at that.
Mm.
And he says, but when the president says, can we do this, all you do is nod your head, oh, yeah, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And even his background on G. Gordon Liddy, how everybody thought he was a kook, and they kind of laughed at his suggestions, but he kind of ran with them. And so it sounded like he made it more human, how it wasn't this big conspiracy, but everyone was afraid to say to the president, you know, that's illegal, you
mm-hmm,
know,
mm-hmm.
And being an attorney. And the only person who did speak up, he said, was John Dean, because I guess they were going to blow up the Brookings Institute or set fire to it after getting the documents. And someone says, well, if someone should die, we could go to jail, and that's capital murder. They're like, okay, let's skip that. And that was the only time they ever said no to all these crackpot plans. And he was really remorseful, and he says, it's good to hold government to the fire. It's good to make sure they're accountable. And he says, there's a lot of that still going on. And when the president says, yes, we will do this, it takes a lot of courage to say, no, maybe we should think twice about this, the ramification. And he seems like a very remorseful person. He's taught a couple years before someone in Washington State helped him get his license back to teach law or practice law again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, he put a real human face on what it was like and how that covert operations to get the Pentagon Papers, when they trashed the office of the psychiatrist, he says, what didn't you learn about covert? You know, we were supposed to go in and out without anyone knowing. And he just says, the whole thing was just a mess, and it just got really stupid. And he says, I just want to confess and get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think he would be an excellent guest.
Sounds very interesting. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye. Let's go next to Ron from Madison. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My suggestion is a talk about Medicare Advantage plans. They're overfunded, costing 12.5% more than the Medicare program. All three presidential candidates want to cut the funding. These are plans that totally replace your Medicare, have a lot of copays, and then once you have a major illness, you can't. I'm the certified senior advisor, and I get called all the time. And I think a lot of people do not understand those programs. I know the county aging specialists are doing seminars and also to fully inform people about these plans.
How many people are on them? Do you know?
Approximately 20% of the American population.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. There are some problems with them, and more will be coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Ron.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We go next to George from Kenosha. Hi, George.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I just wanted to kind of raise awareness to what I think is a big issue behind a lot of the problems facing our country today, and that would be the Federal Reserve, and they don't have a whole lot of coverage on the media, and we don't know very much about the small amount of people behind the Federal Reserve, but the fact that it's not a federal institution at all, and it's not a reserve, it's just a central bank that profits off of the people, and I think until we have them actually eliminated, because we went to 1913 without them, I don't think we'll ever be a free and prosperous country, honestly.
Okay.
And I was just basically calling to, I guess, just bring awareness to that fact, and I think people can, find out for themselves by going on, like, YouTube and finding, information pertaining to the Federal Reserve and see how that does affect our economy and how our actual economic events can be actually, stimulated by the Federal Reserve, and we don't know who controls this, but the people have no control over it, and Congress has no control over it. They're just updated on it. So I think it's a huge issue, and it doesn't get a lot of coverage. I think a lot of the other issues are, just meant to divide the people, and pretty much the old divide and conquer theory. But I mean, media is too biased, and people really have to start finding out information for themselves, and they can do that just by going online, and going to public forums and going to YouTube, and obviously not everything's true, but you have to look at every angle to get the facts.
Thanks, George.
You bet.
Okay, bye. Tina from Marshfield. Hi, Tina.
Hi. I'm calling. I would love to hear more information on the possibility of past life regressions, finding out, like, for physical ailments and mental and emotional, for example, people who go years and years to a therapist and are not getting better, depressions that won't leave, and just exploring the possibility that it could come from things that have occurred in past lives, which is done through hypnosis. So the author Brian Weiss was actually on Oprah, and I'd be curious to hear more about that.
So you think you've lived before, Tina?
I think it's a possibility. I read about things like someone who has been to several doctors and they have neck pain in the back, and then in past life regression they find out that in one of their lives they were stabbed. So I just therapists who work with this didn't start out believing it, and the patients themselves didn't, and that's why I'm really curious about the possibility of a third option for people who can't heal.
Uh-huh. Okay, Tina.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Tom from Whitefish Bay. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Tom.
I want to suggest two programs. One would be a discussion about, with the ruling of the California Supreme Court, would be a discussion around gay marriage, and especially bring in somebody like John Shelby Spong, who's a retired Episcopal bishop, teaches at Harvard, and he's written several books on how Christianity needs to change or die. And one of his big issues, he was the first Episcopal bishop to ordain a gay priest. And I think it would be interesting to hear his viewpoint on this whole issue.
It sure would.
Than just the religious right.
Mm-hmm.
The second one would be, around the country, there's an issue bubbling up, where certain veterans groups are not allowed to march, for example, in the Memorial Day parade by the organizers because they, quote-unquote, have a viewpoint. It's as though all veterans have to be of one mind about war. And in Washington, D.C., Veterans for Peace were tossed out of the Memorial Day parade after being accepted. Here in Milwaukee on Veterans Day, only certain groups are allowed to march. Not all veterans are represented. So I think a nice roundtable discussion about that issue by representatives from like the VFW, Veterans for Peace, American Legion, Iraqi Veterans Against the War would be an interesting discussion.
I'm sure it would. Okay, Tom, two good suggestions. Thank you. Let's go to Marion from Richland Center next. Hi, Marion.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to get maybe Senator Cole on. I got a letter from him about senior care. Wisconsin is the only one that's got senior care, and it's going to be expire now in 2009. In the letter I got from him, that Wisconsin has saved, I believe, $12 million, don't quote me. I'd like to get him on the radio or even Senator Feingold because it expires in 2009. I wish I could get a hold of Hillary. She's got such a good plan for universal health care. If every state, if she could get every state campaign to get every state senior care, it saves money compared to Bush's Part D. I listened to the voting in the morning. And it was a no at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was watching and I was taping it on for my AARP chapter. At 1 o'clock in the morning, it was a no, and they kept that vote open till 4 a.m.
Oh
to
my
get
gosh.
A yes. I imagine so many people out there don't even know about it.
Right.
And it should be known more about that Part D. So I know I talk to people. I go around and talk to people. I got petitions for Senator Leavitt to please say senior care. And so many people can't afford Part D, and so many said, if I can't get senior care, I'm not going to take any drugs because I can't afford Part D, and I won't get well, I know. But she said then I could get some fruit and some food that I haven't been able to buy. But yet she isn't going to get well because if she don't take all the drugs, you know, she could get a couple of them.
Right.
But then they aren't going to live, and so people don't know about that out there. And I don't think they understand Hillary. I've been listening. I won't go into that, but Hillary would be a very good president.
Okay. On another track.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
All right.
I just wish all the states would know and have that. As I said, states are economically in trouble, and it would help the seniors in every state. They don't know, and they say Part D is so high rating. Well, they don't know about senior care. That's why they say they like it, because before they got Part D in other states, they didn't have any kind of a prescription drug. So naturally, they think it's good,
right.
You know, better than what they had. But it isn't good at all. If anybody knows about the donut hole, I mean, I believe on your radio station, you could talk about that more because the seniors need senior care so bad.
Okay, it's a good show for us. Thanks.
Thanks for answering my call.
Thank you for calling, Marion. Bye. Our number, 800-486-8655. It's an open line for the month of May. And we go to Victor from Milwaukee. Hi, Victor.
Good morning. My suggestion is Fox News is making a big controversy about this, about General Electric selling petroleum technology and electronic technology to Iran. I'd like for you to have a guest on to get some insights into that. You know, do we draw the line between profit versus patriotism? So I'd like to see more into that, or any country that we have this antagonistic relations with. You know, some of these private companies are having thriving businesses with them.
Okay. Okay, Victor. That's it?
Yep, that's it.
All right.
I'm quick to the point. I know everybody else needs to call in.
Okay, thanks, Victor.
Bye.
Bye. Richard from Green Bay, hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
I would like to hear actually less programming on certain topics. It just seems that these days everything is all political. And I'm beginning to wonder if NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, the P stands for politics. I would like to hear more programming either on technology or science, alternative energy, pretty much anything but politics.
Okay. Okay.
I can't be alone in this view.
Okay. No, I'm sure you're not. All right, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Let's go to Dorothy from West Allis. Hi, Dorothy.
Good morning. I was thinking of Dr. Greg Fors, F-O-R-S. He started out as a chiropractor until he came down with such severe back pain, and he went back to school and became a neurologist and overcame his back pain, and his daughter overcame her fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
He has an extremely thorough book. It came out in 2007, the autumn of 2007, and it's very comprehensive. It would be of great help to many, many people. He was telling why some of these medications make things worse, why some surgeries are unnecessary because they're not getting the right place of where the pain is originated from.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a wonderful author. I got it from the library, and then I bought my own book.
Okay. And what is the name of the book?
Why We Hurt.
Why We Hurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's very, extremely thorough. He has mind, body, and spirit. He goes through the whole body physiology. He's tremendous.
Thank you, Dorothy.
All right.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Diane from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I think maybe you need an engineer or someone who's been in Iraq. Primarily, maybe, to find out the connection between the use of oil in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars and the price of oil here in the United States. They have no electricity over there because we bombed the smithereens out of them. And so we are running generators 24 hours a day, going on patrols with tanks. All of that uses a tremendous amount of gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who you would get exactly, but someone who's been over there and can tell us how much gasoline that they are using and how that affects the gasoline on the market for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Diane.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take more calls in a moment. It's our open line for the merry month of May, and we're asking for your suggestions for programs from the 9 to 11 hours. 800-486-8655 is the number, 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, Mary Tillman will join us, the mother of Pat Tillman. Let's go next to Peter from Richland Center. Hi, Peter.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I was just wondering, there's a philosophical debate as well as there's probably some math behind it, but to have people discuss the financial implication of either buying up and filling up our oil reserve. I had heard somewhere that it's like 92 or 96% full right now. Versus utilizing our domestic oil, which path most directly impacts the price of the imported oil, and why would we lean to one versus the other?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would assume that there's got to be a lot of contention there, but one of them, it would seem, would have math behind it that would make sense. I mean, it's dollars and cents.
Okay.
And that is the topic that I'd like to have debated.
Okay, Peter. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mom.
Uh-huh. Bye. Jenny, hi.
Hello?
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I was wondering if you could get somebody on that would be able to better explain the Wisconsin Covenant that Governor Doyle has put into effect and kind of compare how that would work versus the financial aid that we're used to getting now for colleges for the kids.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I from what I understand, I don't know how... I don't know what the benefit of going with Wisconsin Covenant is versus the way we do it now with just, you know, the Pell Grants and that type of thing.
Okay. Paying so for college.
Better better explain that to me. I guess I'd appreciate it.
All right, Jenny. Great.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye. Cindy from Menominee. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to recommend Scott Ritter. He wrote a book called Waging Peace. I think that's his most recent book, actually. And he was a UN weapons inspector in Iraq from 91 to 98.
Mm-hmm. I think somebody's had him on recently, but I don't know who it was, Cindy.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It's probably time to have him on again. So we'll do our best.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Gary from Milwaukee, hi.
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 Kathleen, I'd be interested in hearing a program on the growing controversy of some large agribusiness moving into different parts of the state. Like specifically in Crawford and Vernon County, there's been a push to have some hog farms that are like over 1,000 hogs, and it's created some issues, environmental issues, and just cultural issues in the area, and there's been a resistance to it, and there have been hearings recently in Madison regarding some of the environmental effects, and also the really large just milk-producing farms, too, around Kaukauna. There's also controversy regarding that, so I guess I'd like to hear both sides of that, those issues.
Okay. It's a good topic. Thank you.
Sure.
Uh-huh. You're
welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Kathy from Fish Creek. Hi.
Hi. I'm an artist that lives up in Door County, and we have a lot of artists up here. And I received an email from another artist friend in Arkansas. No, actually, Missouri, doesn't matter. About a bill that's in Congress right now, and it's called the Orphan Works Bill. And what it is, what it boils down to be, is basically they want copyright law that you can't copyright anything, and anybody can use anything from your work, you know. I think they want to have some artist registration, but you have to pay for that, and they may have a whole bunch of artist registration things. You've got to pay for each one of them, and if your work isn't in there, then they can use it. And there is a person that was on the radio or somewhere who talked about this, and I would like to see if you can get him on and find out what's going on with this bill right now.
Okay.
It's going through Congress now.
Uh-huh.
And you don't need the bill name or anything, but it's frightening to people, anybody that is artistic or has things, you know. I paint, and I sell cards. My images on cards, you know, and basically I probably wouldn't be able to get paid for this anymore.
Hmm.
So I would really like to have somebody on to find out what's going on with the bill.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kathy, thank you.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Bye. Jennifer from Madison, hi.
Hi, I have a quick suggestion, Mayor Dave.
Okay.
It just would be really interesting to hear a community call in. I don't know if that's too local, because you mostly have national issues, but...
No, sometimes it's always a hard call as to who's going to be interested in guests from various parts of the state, but certainly from, you know, the mayor of Madison would be it's a pretty big part of the state, right?
Yeah, I think it would be really interesting just to talk about people call in with whatever their issues or questions are and just sort of get a feel for just a everyday call, you know, what's happening.
Right. All right, Jennifer.
That's it.
Yeah, thank you. Joan from Green Bay. Hi.
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 Yes, I am a senior, and I just was listening to this nice lady before talking about the fact that HELP has such a great plan for seniors, and I think we're being left in the dark, we seniors that aren't on the Internet, but I do happen to be on the Internet, and I have researched the senior plans pretty well between the three candidates. I would like someone from Obama's campaign that is his advisor on their plans for seniors, because I think he's getting short shrift.
Okay. Okay. We do a lot of politics. Somebody called and said we do too much, but we only have presidential elections once.
I think this is kind of a senior care issue
I understand.
That relates to
right.
Like, the Wisconsin Senior Care Program.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess it's that tie-in that made me call.
Right.
I do understand we do a lot of politics on NPR, and you do a great job. Thank you so much.
Well, I love doing it, but maybe we go overboard sometimes. But to look at specific plans is probably a very good idea for us. And we've done some of that in the last couple of months, but this is an area that deserves our attention, I think.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joan.
Bye.
Bye. 800-486-8655, 414-227-2050 in Milwaukee. Open line for May, and one line is open. Jack from Oak Creek. Hi.
Hi. Say, I wonder if you could find some kind of financial guest who could talk about when we might expect the next financial scandal. You know, we had the multi-billion dollar savings and loan scandal, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, and now we have the mortgage scandal going on, and we had the high-tech scandal in 2001 or whenever it was. And then I heard we can expect another multi-billion dollar taxpayer bailout scandal about every 10 years. And I'm wondering if you could get a guest who could talk about the likelihood based on history repeating itself, when what area and when we might expect another multi-billion dollar rip off of the taxpayer, some sort of scandal or other. I think it'd be fascinating.
All right, Jack. Thank you very much for your call. Kathy from Heartland. Hi.
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 Yeah, I would like to hear an interview with Domo Geshe Rinpoche.
Who?
He's a reincarnate Buddhist Lama who's going to be coming to Wisconsin in the fall, doing a program on the mind-body connection and quantum reality, quantum physics, and how that compares to Buddhist philosophy and what the Buddhists have been saying for the last 2,500 years. So I thought that would be an interesting topic. And I also have a second idea is Qigong, which is another Eastern, similar to Tai Chi or yoga. It's exercise that stimulates the relaxation mechanism in the body, the parasympathetic nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really good for stress management and helping people to better cope with the chronic stress that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's been recognized by the National Council on Aging for being really helpful for seniors in helping with preventing high blood pressure and strokes,
mm-hmm.
as well as preventing falls in seniors. So
okay.
Some of these Eastern philosophies, I think, can be really helpful for us as we look at
sure.
The issues that confront us in our lives. Domo Geshe Rinpoche teaches meditation and kind of the Buddhist philosophies with a Western twist on them. She's a little bit unusual is that she's an American Lama and she's a woman, which
right.
is quite unusual
mm-hmm.
in the Gelug tradition of Tibetan Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a very unusual person, and she has the Western context to be able to translate some of these somewhat confusing Eastern concepts into a way that makes them more understandable for
right.
us growing up in the West and often from a Christian background.
Okay, Kathy. Good suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
George from Door County is next. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good, good. Yeah, I've got a question, I guess, or a topic that I never hear anything on from either Republicans or Democrats, and I'm not sure there's anything written on it, but I think in our day of technology where things have changed so much in the world, it might be a great time to take a new strategic look at how we use all our military services to better protect the country. Because I think there's, from what I know, there's a lot of wasted money between the services because they compete with each other. And that money could easily pay for health care and education. And I'm not sure the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I'm not sure it's their mission to try to, you know, pull together a great strategic plan. I just think they each fight for their own service, and it might be a great way to be able to do the things we want to do in this country and not have to, you know, I mean, we're not going to be able to go out and tax people more because that's, you know, we're already hurting for all kinds of issues, but there could be a lot of money saved here, and bottom line, we could really have a better plan for how to protect ourselves both on the world basis and at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never... it's a topic that no one seems to want to touch because no one wants to really, you know, everyone's kind of afraid of dealing with the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to hear something.
Well, our next guest.
If there's anyone else, I don't know where the resource would be. I don't know if anyone's working on it or if anybody's studying. It may be really interesting to see what the real mission of the, you know, Joint Chiefs of Staff were. I think when they were pulled together a long time ago, it was obviously to pull all the services together so we could win the various wars we were in at the time. But anyhow, have you ever heard anything on that?
No.
Neither have I.
No,
but,
so
I mean,
maybe we should do it.
Just think, if we could strategically figure out how to do things as good or better than we are now and save 20% of the military budget, boy, that would pay for all our education needs that we have for our kids and also for the health care that we would like to do for people.
Yeah. Thanks, George.
Okay.
We're out of time, but if you didn't get through, please send emails to us and we will seriously entertain your suggestions. And the email addresses are mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. And send, you know, put Rhonda's address, too. It's Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. We'd love to hear from you. And some of these were terrific suggestions. We'll follow through on them for sure. Thanks to John Trenor for taking many, many phone calls this hour. We'll have news coming up and return with another hour of Thursday Talk on the Ideas Network.